Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to our daily briefing. General Yeats is thankfully with me once again. Ladies and gentlemen, before we turn to Kosovo, I would like to tell you some news from Bosnia. A few moments ago, the NATO stabilisation force in Bosnia detained Dragan Kulundzija, who is indicted for war crimes by the International Criminal Tribunal for Yugoslavia. Mr. Kulundzija is now being processed by S4 for transfer to The Hague. We'll give you further details in due course about this particular operation. You should know that Dragan Kulundzija has been indicted in an open indictment by the International Criminal Tribunal for grave breaches of the Fourth Geneva Convention relative to the protection of civilian persons in times of war, also for violations of the laws and customs of war and crimes against humanity. These alleged offences were all committed at a place known as the Keraturm concentration camp near the town of Prijedor in the Republic of Bosnia-Herzegovina on the territory of the former Yugoslavia. Detainees at this Keraturm camp were killed, sexually assaulted, tortured, beaten, and otherwise subjected to cruel and inhumane treatment. Now back to Kosovo. As you all know, the weekend meetings in the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia between General Jackson, representing NATO, and the Yugoslav generals did not produce an agreement. The Yugoslav authorities presented proposals that simply failed to guarantee the safe return of the refugees, the protection of all of the people of Kosovo, and the complete withdrawal of the Serb forces. Those proposals were unacceptable. As we have made clear since this campaign began, there are two indivisible requirements for any suspension of the air campaign by NATO. We have to have the complete acceptance of our non-negotiable conditions, and we have to have the verifiable and credible implementation of those conditions. An agreement without implementation is not an agreement. There has been no movement towards implementation by the Yugoslav military. In fact, as General Yeats will point out, the activities of the Yugoslav military continue in Kosovo at this moment. Instead, we have had some proposals from the Yugoslav side that, if accepted, would fail to guarantee the safety and security of the people of Kosovo. And these proposals are also inconsistent with the Ahtisaari-Chernomyrdin agreement that President Milosevic accepted last week. In short, President Milosevic so far has failed to keep his word. And that is why we were right and continue to be right to be cautious and to maintain our full vigilance. There are always three stages in reaching an agreement with President Milosevic. First is the agreement on principles. Secondly, there is the agreement on the details. And thirdly, there is the full implementation. Then you know that you have an agreement. And there is now an attempt to negotiate non-negotiable conditions. We will not accept this because it is a far cry from the verifiable and credible implementation that we are looking for. The demands of the international community remain the only way to guarantee the safe return of the refugees to their homes. We know, and every Kosovar refugee repeats it every day, that the refugees will not go home while the forces responsible for the ethnic cleansing remain in Kosovo. The Kosovars will not go home until they see NATO forces arrive in Kosovo to guarantee their safety. The Kosovars will not go home until Milosevic agrees to and acts on our five conditions. Until such time as those five conditions are being effectively implemented, NATO's air operations are continuing and will continue. General Jackson, of course, remains in the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia. He has lots of work to get on with in terms of preparing NATO forces to be ready for their mission to bring peace to Kosovo. And General Jackson is ready at any time to discuss with competent Yugoslav authorities the implementation of the Atisari-Chernomyrdin agreement. He is ready whenever the Serbs are ready to talk real business. But he is there to discuss one thing and one thing only, implementation, not a reopening of what Milosevic has agreed to, but simply how we are going to implement it effectively and rapidly. And with that, I will ask General Yurtz to give you the last 24 hours military operational update.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start repeating the words General Jackson finished his public announcement last night. He ended his statement by saying, "The air campaign will continue." And he's right. Yesterday, NATO flew over 480 sorties against strategic and tactical targets in and around Kosovo and in Serbia proper. We struck a wide variety of tactical military targets, including a command post, an early warning site, a radar relay site, and a munition storage facility. And, as I told you yesterday, our main emphasis again was to hit Serb forces on the ground. Targets included artillery pieces and mortar positions, plus armored personnel carriers and other armored vehicles. We also struck two battalion-sized staging areas. Even so, detailed battle damage is still ongoing. First reports indicate that Serb ground forces in Kosovo had to suffer some heavy losses, especially on artillery pieces and armored personnel carriers. NATO's air campaign will continue until implementation of a withdrawal agreement. As yet, however, there is no military agreement to withdraw, much less actual movement of Serb forces out of Kosovo. The ground fighting continued in Kosovo, still heaviest in the west, along the Albanian-Kosovo border. Two main areas of conflict remain, in the Mount Pastrik vicinity and to north of Mount Pastrik around Junik area. The artillery firing into Albania continues in the Mount Pastrik area and from positions near Junik. In fact, it has spread a little over along the Kosovo-Albanian border, forcing Albanian people to leave their homes. Another clear sign that Serb military forces do not bother about civilian casualties. Elsewhere in Kosovo, we have evidence of clashes between Serb and UCK forces in south central and central Kosovo, especially near Orahovac. Air defense activity, including anti-aircraft artillery and radars, was light again. There was no Serb aircraft flying activity at all, and two surface-to-air missiles were fired against NATO aircraft. But once again, all NATO aircraft returned safely. Even so, I've learned yesterday in the discussions with General Jackson that the Serb generals, having participated in the meeting, still claim now 75 NATO aircraft having been shot down, and they tend to believe it. As you can see, the fighting isn't over yet. Let me share some more thoughts with you. Serb forces will not halt their operations until their senior commanders give them the order. But bear in mind, the senior commanders report to the political leadership in Belgrade. Only Milosevic can end the continuing destruction of his military and special forces, those forces carrying out the brutalities in Kosovo. The air campaign will not end until Serb forces begin a verifiable and credible withdrawal from Kosovo. NATO will continue its successful air campaign, the most precise, persistent air campaign in history, until Serb forces begin to follow their leaders with words, with their actions. NATO's arsenal is extensive and it is flexible. Yesterday, we managed to divert heavy bombers from their original targets to strike Serbian positions along the Kosovo-Albanian border, shortly after we detected numerous Serb troops in fighting action on the ground. We are capable to increase the number of strikes. We can hit Serb targets even harder and more often than we have done so to date. This concludes my portion of the briefing. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's begin.
Two questions, Jamie. First, do you have any details? Can you elaborate a little bit on the plans the Serbs submitted to the General Jackson in this meetings there? And the second question is... I forgot. Let us see the first question.
Well, I don't want to get into the details of this, particularly as, of course, it's our hope and expectation that these military-to-military discussions will resume in the very near future. But let me just say that the Serb side did not accept the sequencing of activities as proposed by NATO, a sequencing which, in our view, represents the only way to ensure that the Serb forces leave and international security forces rapidly thereafter deployed, and the refugees are able to return home right away. Secondly, the Serb generals claimed that they were empowered only to discuss certain aspects of the military-to-military agreements and not other aspects, and they stalled on many other points of detail as well. So it's not clear that they were really interested on that occasion in genuinely seeking an agreement.
The second question was, did the Council today discuss the question of ground troops?
No. If you mean by that ground troops in terms of a new option,
yes.
No. Jake, please.
Jamie, you said the other day when the G8 foreign ministers meeting was initially postponed, you said don't conclude from that nothing is going on because G8 political directors continue to meet. And I'm wondering if you've received any indication that those political directors have managed to prepare anything to put to the foreign ministers which bridges the gap in the codicil to the document accepted in Belgrade last week, the difference of understanding between Russia and NATO as to the precise command and control structure governing those respective troop contingents.
Okay, well, Jake, it's obviously very positive that the Foreign Minister of Russia, Mr. Ivanov, has arrived in Bonn and is attending those talks now. They're starting, over lunch. But I don't know, naturally, what the outcome of the discussions is yet. We'll learn that later when they have their press conferences. But we hope, of course, to bridge the remaining gaps in terms of how NATO and Russia can cooperate in a peacekeeping force, even though I believe the technical details will be worked out at the military-to-military level and then obviously at the level of the North Atlantic Council here. But I think the main order of business is, of course, the discussions on the UN Security Council resolution, where, again, we very much hope that the G8 is going to make progress. But, of course, I can't talk for them. They'll be speaking for themselves later today.
I mean, you have expressed some puzzlement as to what can be motivating the Serbs to drag this out. Isn't it clear that until those details are nailed down, the analysis in Belgrade will remain that something might be there to be gained, and therefore until the text of a UN resolution is finalised, you can't really expect to get a deal with the military technical talks?
Well, Jake, they in Belgrade have to calculate their cost-benefit ratio too, you know, and they realise that as long as they don't agree and start pulling out their forces, NATO air operations are going to continue, and that means that every day that that happens, as General Yurtz has said, they are going to lose another percentage point or two of their armed forces. And so, believe me, the costs are also very real ones for Belgrade in continuing to postpone what is going to have to take place in any case sooner rather than later. Craig.
Jamie, what was the sense of the council meeting today on expanding and intensifying the air campaign, particularly in areas like Belgrade?
The sense, Craig, is that as far as the air campaign is concerned, there is no reason to suspend it. Of course not at the moment. The conditions for that have not been met, and that we're going to keep it up. We're going to keep up significant military pressure on Milosevic so that he has a chance to rethink again the strategy of not following through on what he has agreed. At the same time, NATO countries, obviously with the G8 as well going on, will be meeting to seek a pragmatic way through this current difficulty, which we hope will be a little local difficulty and not a major sticking point. We still believe that we've come a very, very, very long way in the last 75 days. We haven't got as far as we've got, only to trip up at the final hurdle. Let's go to Dimitri.
Did any contacts, foreign or some else, appeared last days between Russians and NATO. And also, there are some sources saying that at the end of previous week, Secretary General met Andrei Kozyrev, former foreign minister. What was this meeting about, and was it related somehow to the Russian role in this crisis?
No, the meeting did take place, Dmitry. It was over the weekend. It was a totally private meeting. I insist on that, private. They're old friends from the days when they were both foreign ministers, and it was to discuss really general European security issues. But Mr. Kozyrev was not there in any official capacity, and I'm not aware yet of any contacts between NATO and Russia at the working level to discuss the participation of Russia in the peace implementation force. But we'll get to that, I hope, in the near future. Mark.
To General Yurts and then one to you, Jamie. You talked about General Jackson said the air campaign will continue. I believe, actually, he said it will continue and intensify. I know you've given us the last 24 hours. Can you talk about whether air operations, as was alluded to this morning, are actually going back to their prior intensity? Has there been more airstrikes? Are they spreading beyond Kosovo more than they were? And are you planning to get up to and to exceed your previous levels of intensity, 700-plus sorties, 350 airstrikes? And to Jamie, there's a lot of sense that the Russians are separating somewhat from NATO now, that they are insisting on a bombing pause before the Security Council resolution, and that this is going to be one of the main stumbling blocks in the G8. Can you comment on that?
On the first question, Mark, I know I like you very much, but I have it in front of me. It says, meanwhile, the air campaign will continue, full stop. If somebody cuts something away, then, of course, I have to apologize. But other than that, no, we don't talk about intensification. At least General Jackson didn't do it. What I said, we are capable. And, of course, to be very honest, the numbers already did go up. And I think in the last few days I already told you that we will beef up again. And just to make sure that the whole range of targets, even though I'm not going into more details on that, will be struck like we did in the past.
Beyond Kosovo as well?
We already did it the last 24 hours, as you realize.
Mark, I'm not aware that Russia has introduced any new positions in addition to the long-standing views of Russia, which are well known. And as you know, one of the purposes of the G8 meeting today is to continue to work with Russia on these issues and to try to come to a common viewpoint, particularly in view of the need to pass a UN Security Council resolution to the extent that it is possible as soon as possible. And therefore, you know, we'll see what happens at the G8, but I wouldn't like to second-guess the outcome of those talks. Let's go to Jean-Marc.
Jamie, the sounds from Blachy and then from Kumanovo sounded pretty positive until a Russian defense attaché walked in, apparently, and some sources are saying that it sort of changed the atmosphere. So can you tell us more about why the NATO people in Kumanovo sounded so hopeful and so positive, and suddenly there was a breakdown? Is that related to a message delivered by the Russian envoy or observer?
It's clear, Jean-Marc, that if there was yesterday a breakdown of the talks, it was because of Milosevic. It's clear that's where the responsibility lies. There was a Russian participant as an observer, but no more than as an observer in those talks. Patricia.
Jamie, in the absence of a UN resolution, but if there is a withdrawal, would NATO troops go in without a resolution? And if some countries don't like that idea, could they be transferred to national command and go into Kosovo under national command instead of NATO command?
Well, a lot of speculative questions there. And you know what spokesmen always answer to speculative questions. Two things. First of all, we are working very hard to get a UN Security Council resolution. All allies are participating in that effort. All allies want a UN Security Council resolution. Secondly, we are working very, very hard to prepare for the peace implementation force to be ready for deployment as soon as possible. And we're going to continue on those two tracks for the time being and do our best to make them come together. John. Next to Patricia, please.
Yeah, Jamie, you seem to be blaming Milosevic for the breakdown. What do you think he's up to? And have there been any talks since the breakdown in the early hours of the morning to try to get the process moving again?
Well, I wish he would convene a press conference so that you could go and ask him that question by a live link from NATO headquarters even, because it would be good to know. He does have a habit, as you know, of agreeing to principles, which he then tries to work back, as it were, on the details. That is why we have said right from the word go that we had to be vigilant, that we weren't going to count any chickens around this place before they had all hatched, because we do have that experience with Milosevic over several years. The message from NATO last week was one of great caution, as you well remember, because we stressed that we would only believe it when we saw the implementation moving ahead. But what we are going to do is do what we've always done on this occasion. We're going to be firm, we're going to be consistent, we're going to be constructive. We're not going to, if you like, see this as a setback. We're going to see this as another reason for redoubling our pressure on Milosevic and redoubling our vigilance. And when he sees that this stratagem is going to be no more successful than his previous stratagem of resisting the five conditions, then I believe we'll be moving ahead. So this is a time of cool resolve, and that's the message from NATO headquarters.
And have there been any contact since the early hours?
Well, we have established, as I said earlier, a liaison mechanism, which, if you like, is a way of keeping in touch at a low working level to see if the Yugoslavs have anything to tell us, to provide any clarifications that they may still need. This doesn't mean meetings as such. It just means contacts from time to time and exchanging telephone numbers. So if the Yugoslavs are having second thoughts, believe me, they know which number to ring. Dominic.
Jimmy, deux questions dont l'une qui vous a été posée ces deux derniers jours sur laquelle je voudrais revenir à la lumière des événements de la nuit dernière. L'OTAN n'a-t-elle pas baissé sa garde trop rapidement? N'a-t-elle pas diminué l'intensité des bombardements trop rapidement et ainsi a permis à Milosevic ce coup de pied de l'âne, si vous me permettez l'expression? Deuxième chose, est-ce que le Conseil aujourd'hui a évoqué les règles d'opération et d'engagement de la KFOR?
Si vous êtes un soldat serbe au Kosovo, après ce que le général Yertz vient de décrire, je ne pense pas que vous auriez subi ça comme une décélération ou une désintensification des opérations, loin de là. Hier, par exemple, une bonne cinquantaine de véhicules blindés des forces armées yougoslaves en Kosovo ont été frappés par l'OTAN. Donc, journée noire sur le plan militaire pour le président Milosevic hier. Maintenant, en ce qui concerne le plan opérationnel doit être approuvé à peu près maintenant, à l'heure où je vous parle, par le comité militaire, soumis pour approbation rapide au Conseil Atlantique, avec les règles d'engagement. Il s'agira d'une approbation provisoire par le Conseil, l'approbation finale intervenant au moment où les forces sont effectivement déployées au Kosovo même. Mais tout ça suit son chemin. Le comité militaire ayant planché au cours du week-end est très proche maintenant d'un accord. Et s'il y a un accord au comité militaire, l'accord au Conseil Atlantique suit en général rapidement.
Question for General Yertz. How is the situation inside Kosovo? Do you have any more information about the looting or what the preparation of the Serbian forces to leave? And for Jamie, again, some Serbian representatives are saying that the army is still afraid of the reaction of KLA when they start to withdraw. Did General Jackson start already to have a contact with KLA about that issue?
In the last 24 hours, we had no further indications of looting, but I think I still owe you the answer of, I don't know, somebody asked me yesterday about the looting I was discussing. This happened in the Pristina area, where two buses of VJ infantry have been seen going into Pristina, and the same troops returned later with trucks and other vehicles, and those trucks and vehicles were loaded with stolen goods, so we know what happened at least 2 days ago. Last 24 hours, as I already said, no further indications.
Well, certainly we know that the Kosovo Liberation Army is continuing to fight the Yugoslavs intensively, despite the losses that they have sustained. For example, near Orahovac or around Lake Radon Jiko, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, near Dukani, and in the area between Jabalichka and Kralyani. There is active fighting going on, and we know that UCK have some success in retaking certain areas around Suva Reko and delivering ammunition to one of their key strongholds at Mali Veso. So they are far from a spent force, that's clear. If the Yugoslav soldiers really fear the KLA, that is a good reason for agreeing to the detailed implementation with General Jackson, because to the extent they withdraw in an organized way along specific routes, they are less likely to be attacked. If the Yugoslavs are using this as an excuse to delay or not to withdraw, it's not an excuse that's going to work with the NATO side. And once again, as I've said on previous occasions, the KLA share the objective of having the Serb forces leave Kosovo. They have every interest in not trying to stop or delay or impede that, but to see those forces leave as quickly as possible, and we are counting on their restraint in that connection.
You said before that they have also to act under the instruction of General Jackson when KFOR start to enter. Did KFOR already establish any kind of contact with leadership of KLA?
Not to my knowledge, but there have been several contacts between UCK leaders like Mr. Thatchy and alliance governments on a bilateral basis, and the statements that I've heard in the last few days from Mr. Thatchy and Mr. Krasniqi seem to suggest to me that they have received those messages from allied governments. Bill.
Jamie, you mentioned that a major problem seems to be in the sequence, that is the withdrawal of the Serb troops and the entry of NATO troops, but there are some reports saying that the Serbs want to keep as many as 15,000 forces in Kosovo. What can you clear up the confusion as to what their new demands are in terms of renegotiating NATO's principles?
Bill, I'm not going to go into the details of that. As I say, I don't think at this stage it would be helpful. But the Serbs clearly know, whatever they may suggest, that they are not going to be allowed to keep forces in Kosovo above the level specified to them by General Jackson, which is a small level. We're talking about a few hundred, and not the levels of last October, which were a disproportionately high level. And anything that goes beyond what General Jackson has specified would be a Serb policeman or a Serb soldier too many for the refugees to have the confidence to go back home. Robin Cook used the expression today, a non-starter, and I'm quite happy to echo that comment.
Let me add just another word. The numbers General Jackson was supposed to mention, and Jamie just did it, they were the ones which had been used in the Serb parliament. So, and this one was agreed, as we all know. So the other numbers could not be discussed at present time and should not be discussed.
Okay, I'll take one final question for today. Doug?
I'd like to go back to the idea that you hope that this might be a little local difficulty, as you said. If General Jackson is speaking to people who still believe that 75 NATO planes have been shot down, perhaps he's speaking to the wrong people. Has NATO got any plans to go to Belgrade and speak to Dragoljub Ojdanić or indeed Slobodan Milosevic and ask him for a yes or no answer and get one from him?
No. We have no plans at the moment, Doug. It's very clear what has to be done. These generals will sign what Milosevic tells them to sign. And therefore, we will wait, as I said, the door is open for Milosevic to rethink the position, because in the meantime, NATO air operations are going to continue. We are very tenacious. We haven't come, as I said, this far to stumble at the final hurdle, and therefore, we will wait for those generals to appear again, but this time more prepared to do business than was the case over the past weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, and we'll stop there for today.